If you open your Bibles in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, that's going to be our scripture for today. Galatians, chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. Let us kneel as we pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your glory and for your goodness and for allowing us to be here to worship you in this morning. Thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit that we are able to receive if we open our hearts and our lives and we let you in into our lives. Just be with us in this morning. Be with Pastor Don as he speaks your word and help us feel your Holy Spirit. Help us connect with you in a special way, in a special moment. And bless us during this Sabbath that you have given us so we can worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Euridice, for that great special. That was really nice. Very nice. And Rod, I'm sorry, I was kind of rushing things on calling you a great grandpa. You got a ways to go yet. Yes. Today's topic, the title is Living by the Spirit's Power. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26, 10 verses. The theme is the Holy Spirit, but there's parts of the sermon that is a little more challenging to speak on, so I appreciate your prayers as we move through this. Our last study in Galatians, we found that love defines the Christian life and does not contradict or oppose God's law. Paul specifically says that actually love fulfills his law. And think about that. I mean, that's really, really important. Love fulfills the law of God. Love to God, love to fellow man. It fulfills the whole law. Meaning that true Christian behavior is much more than an outward obedience of doing the law or following it as a list of rules, but rather love fulfills the law. So it's not do, do, do. It's love, love, love. Yeah. It is not the abandonment of the law, nor is it a reduction of the law to love only. But it is the way in which the true intent and meaning of the law is to be experienced. Galatians 5:13 to 15 taught us that God called us to freedom, not so that we can indulge our sinful nature, but he called us to freedom that we may love and serve one another as slaves. Interesting. As slaves. How's that possible? The answer is first that only the Holy Spirit in our life can keep us free. Only the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into the center stage now in these following verses, 16 to 26. And it's mentioned in these 10 verses, the Holy Spirit's mentioned 7 times. Uniting the Spirit is the only path to maintaining Christian liberty. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, dear friends, our liberty either veers off to legalism or to license. But legalism and license are the works of the flesh. Even though both are quite different in some ways. Think about it. Legalism is religious. While license is irreligious. Yet both legalism and license are works of the flesh, not works of the Spirit. Because they both focus on ourselves. They both focus inward on ourselves and our accomplishments rather than upon God and what He has done for us. So let's see just how Paul illustrates this point in our passages in Galatians 5, 16 to 26. So Paul starts out this way. And by the way, if you have your Bibles, turn to your Bibles and follow it. A friend of mine, a member of this church, said it used to be that when the preacher preached, you'd have your Bible and you'd open and you'd follow him as he's preaching. And now we have the text on the screen, so nobody opens their Bible. Well, you know, I got to thinking about that. It's really true, and I probably won't quit putting the text on the screen. But, you know, I think if you open your Bible, even though it's a different version, if you just open your Bible and look at that, I think there's more power. More power. Let that word just come into your mind. You know, grab it. And if it's a different version, that might be a blessing, you know. Could be a blessing. So Paul says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and then you won't be doing your sinful nature, what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Well, so far that's pretty good. Pretty plain, isn't it? Paul specifically says that love fulfills the whole law. Christian behavior is much more than outward obedience to doing. Much more than that. Christian behavior is not just following the loose list of rules, but loving God with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our strength. He continues, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of the sinful nature desires. The two focuses are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. We're in a battle zone. We're in a battle zone. One of the central problems that you and I face is that we're in this battlefield between the Holy Spirit and the flesh. All of us. All of us. There's a great conflict between good and evil raging in our very beings, even right now. And this is a serious problem. It means that we are not eternally safe when we accept Christ and join the church. That's just the first step. I believe that we are really on both sides of the conflict. We have the potential of going either way in this struggle between flesh and the Spirit. We can move either direction. And you know as well as I know that we will struggle with temptations of the flesh as long as we're on this earth. It's a constant battle. Martin Luther says in his commentary, he says, our flesh lusteth against the spirit, and therefore we have sin and can sin. Those of us who have a lot to say about law keeping and sinless perfection, what they fail to realize is that they haven't gotten rid of the flesh. You know, has just become a religious flesh. And those individuals who want to focus on perfectionism and law keeping have a lot to say about the law and how we can live a sinless life. And they often become, those that focus on that often become critical of others in the church because we do not live according to their high standard. And that's just what the Pharisee Judaizers were doing to the Christians in Galatians. So what's the real answer? Paul says in verse 18, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. That's quite a statement, isn't it? But stop and think about it. When you're under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now, I didn't say that. Paul said that. Yet the Holy Spirit, when he's in our life and we allow him to control, we don't have to worry about the law. Love just flows out and we fulfill the law because the Spirit's in our life. We are to walk with the Spirit of God in our lives and let him guide every moment of our lives. That's the challenge we should have. Nothing can be more important to our Christian lives than walking and working with the Holy Spirit. That's one of the most important things there is. The Holy Spirit has been given us as the one agent to encounter our evil nature. We need the Holy Spirit if we're going to win the battles. The Holy Spirit wants us to be dependent upon his ministry and expecting us to cooperate with him. So the choice is really up to us. Will we yield to the Holy Spirit or obey our evil nature? There is no more important choice to be made. Accepting the Holy Spirit into our lives is just as vital. Now listen, accepting the Holy Spirit into our lives is just as vital as the sacrifice of Christ who took the curse of the broken law from us upon the cross. You cannot just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be void of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to fight that continuous battle against the flesh. That's what Paul's trying to say. So Paul's focus in this Galatians 5, 16, and 18 is on the necessity of the Holy Spirit for a victorious Christian life. Now, the next three verses, Paul makes a shift. He makes a shift to the works of the flesh, the part that makes us uncomfortable, let's be honest, which is absolutely the opposite of love because love means serving one another and not self. Sins of the flesh is focused upon oneself, oneself. That is saying that sin is love perverted. It is loving yourself more than God and other people. That's what sin is. So Paul now gives some examples of the sins of the flesh. Are you ready? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. He didn't list them all. Anything that has to do with self, we're serving self, is a sin. It's about others. It's about others. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin in the mind leads to sinful actions. And a focus on the flesh leads to works of the flesh. We can see such in our own lives if we're really honest with ourselves. On a less visible level, my self-love will lead me to crucify you because I am more dedicated to living all of God's law than you are. Got it? Criticism. Criticism is one of the biggest results of sin in our lives. Do you know what the fruit of such a religious attitude is? I named one of it. Criticism. Gossip. Dissension. Strife in the church. All these sins are self-centered sins. And the reason Paul says that such will not inherit the kingdom of God is that those who continue to practice are not in Christ. And second, they'd not be happy in the kingdom because they're totally out of harmony with the basic principles of loving one another. As a result, not where they only feel uncomfortable in the kingdom of God with their fleshly principles, as Paul calls it, but their presence would be eternally disruptive in heaven. Eternally disruptive. I challenge you, each and every one of you, to think of yourself, not others, as we wrestle with this in our own lives. Believe you me, your pastor is not any better than you are. I have the conflict in my life constantly, wrestling with the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Paul now turns to the fruit of the Spirit. And he says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, I want you to notice something here. A lot of you already know this, but I want you to notice something. That fruit is a singular, while works was plural. What is that saying? The various aspects of fruit will all be seen in every true believer's life. For example, you cannot have love for God and people without having peace, joy, and gentleness. Nor can you have patience without self-control and meekness. Can't do it. You cannot say the same about the works of the flesh. Because in the works of the flesh, a person can be an adulterer without being a drunkard. So in the works of the flesh, you can have one or two or all, many of them. But when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have all of them. Think about that. You have all of them. Think of the fruit as a cluster rather than a series of of different virtues. It's a cluster. Another thing that stands out is that the fruit represents a shift away from human accomplishments. Totally. Works are what a man does. Fruit is what the Holy Spirit does. Every true Spirit-led Christian has every aspect of the fruit. So legalists, perfectionists tend to focus on the external or works rather than upon the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit love seems to be the stem upon which the rest hangs, which ends up being the sum total of the fulfilling of the law. Think of that. Fruit, love is the stem upon which all the rest of fruit hangs, which totally fulfills the law of God. Notice that the works of the flesh focus on self-centeredness, while the fruit of the Spirit focuses on other-centeredness. Interesting, in the Greek, some of you know this also, there are four words for love. There's eros, which means love of a man towards a maid. The second word is phila, which is the warm love that we feel for our nearest and dearest. And you have storge, which stands for affection and is specifically used of the love of parents and children. Then the fourth Greek word is agape, which signifies uncomparable benevolence. It means that no matter what a man may do to us by way of insult or injury or humiliation, we will never seek anything else but the highest good of him. No matter what. I don't care who says what about you. I don't care who says what about me. If I have agape love, I'll never retaliate. That's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? Even in our mind, it's a challenge. Yeah. What's interesting is agape is the word that Paul uses in all these verses. That's what he's using. Agape is what John uses in John 3:16. And Paul uses agape in 1 Corinthians 13. Agape is the word Jesus used when he said we should love our enemies and pray for those who are persecuting us. That's agape love. Agape love is the sum total of the whole law. With agape love, we have peace with God and peace with other people. That's powerful love. Stop thinking about it. With agape love, we have joy because nothing that anyone does to us can truly offend us. If we have agape love, hey, this is tough. If we have agape love, no one can offend us. Think about that. That's a challenge. How many are going to be honest with me and tell me that you get offended sometimes? Come on. Sure. How much we need the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. We need to choose the Holy Spirit and not works of the flesh. With agape love, we have joy because nothing that anyone does to us can truly offend us. And patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control are all part of the nature of agape love. And Paul goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and have crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Notice what Paul is saying here, what the Christians need to do. First, he says we must crucify, we must nail our passions and our desires and our sinful nature. We must nail them to the cross. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, that if anyone follow him, let him deny himself and what? Take up my cross. We must, by the guidance and empowerment of the Spirit of God, crucify our self-orientation of living, crucify our works of the flesh. We must fight it and nail it to the cross. This first takes place when we're converted. That's where it first takes place. But it can't end there. We have to keep nailing it. Keep nailing it. In fact, death to the works of flesh and birth to the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, are what conversion is all about. And so it's very interesting to me that we're told we're supposed to be converted how often? Daily. Daily. Daily we need to take self and nail to the cross. Daily we need to invite the Spirit into our lives. Daily do you ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you daily? Friends, we need to. Without the Holy Spirit guiding us, we're toast. Second, and this is an important step, George Knight says that if we take the first step only, crucifying ourselves, then what good does it do us if we are just a dead corpse? The second step is that we need to follow the Spirit's leading. Or as some versions say, we need to walk in the Spirit daily in every part of our lives. And if we walk in the Spirit, walking in a straight line with the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit can produce in us the fruit of the Spirit in each and every one of us. But the fruit of the Spirit, to truly be part of us, we must live it and not just talk it. We must live it, not just talk it. So Paul pleads this. He says, let us not be conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So Paul first tells us that we must do, and now he's telling us what we are not to do. Paul's not speaking directly to the problems of the Galatians only, dear friends. He's speaking to you and me. He's speaking to each and every one of us today that we not provoke each other, that we not criticize each other. We not be jealous of one another. It's our choice. Follow the desires of the flesh or follow the Spirit's leading and receive the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to go back. I want to go back to our very first verse we start out with. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So, what hand do you want to grasp? You want to grasp the hand of flesh or the hand of the Spirit? choice. It's my choice. Let's pray. Father God, Paul laid it on the line. He laid it on the line for us. It may be some hard things said here, Father, but may in our life we seek the Spirit that we may be like Jesus. May we take the flesh and nail it to the cross, as Jesus said. May we crucify self and let the Spirit dwell within us. And may each and every one of us walk with the Spirit into the kingdom of God. It is our prayer in Jesus' name.